Do you believe in click it or tick it?
One, two, three, four, five. Everybody in the car, so come on, let's ride to the liquor store around the corner. The boys say they want some gin and juice, but I really don't wanna.
Hello and welcome to Click It or Tick It. I am Pete Mugina.
Glenn Marshall coming to you, Lou Bega live.
Did Lou Bega really just say what I thought he did? Because I am Nick Schaefer and whoa!
Yeah, actually, in silence while we're letting the music play out, me and Nick at the same time simultaneously heard the word him say Cox at one point.
And then a racial slur.
He's like, do you really want Cox?
Yeah, don't want to get Cox like I did last week.
I will say we're pretty cool because we let the music cut out before it goes to the part that everyone knows. It's like, a little bit of Monica in my
I don't know why we decided to start with Lou Bega. We just thought moment number five would be funny.
That song is so genius, too, because a song gets stuck in your head when you can't remember all the lyrics, so you loop the same parts in your head trying to figure it out. And all anybody can remember is Monica, and then like maybe a couple others that set up rhymes.
Angela and Rita.
Yeah, yeah, but there's a whole bunch of middle ones that you just don't, like Sandra and Tiffany.
Cassandra.
And Broom Helga, and I can't remember all of them. Or what
I know I'm on a media.
I love how he had that other song. I'm not familiar with Lou Bega's entire repertoire, I regret to say.
Well, I am, and let me tell you.
Sorry, Christian. But I remember in the Stuart Little movie, I saw it when I was very young in theaters, but I remember he had that other song that was, I as far as I could tell, was the exact same melody. It was like, tell me 1 + 1 = 2. Tell me all the things that you can do.
So it's like the same thing as 50 Cent making Candy Shop.
All I'm saying is a little bit of you.
Candy Shop and Pawn Shop.
No, it was Candy Shop and Magic Stick. He made the same two songs.
Candy Shop.
No, it was
but he's a rapper, so he can do that.
What was the name of the song, Ryan?
Mambo Number 5. All I know is I just looked him up.
Yeah.
He's from Germany.
No,
that's absolutely true. I knew that.
You knew Lou Bega was from Germany?
Yeah, Lou Bega!
Thought everyone knew that.
Actually,
I went as Lou Bega for Halloween
So when he talks, he's like, I am Dustin Lou Bega.
He was a Nazi number 5.
but he's like off the boat German? Like he's... It would explain his outfit.
SS
number 5.
It might just be like Ben Gordon was like born in London, but...
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, I guess that's true.
He's from London.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and like Dikembe Mutombo was like born in the Sudan or something.
Bullshit.
Yeah, right.
Well, he lived in
the most LA guy ever.
Just straight off of Beverly Hills, Rodeo Drive, fucking Dikembe.
What's up, Brian?
Have you ever seen the Tenacious D Masterworks?
I saw 12 Rounds by John Cena, but yes, no, I have the complete.
Wait, hold.
One of my favorite scenes.
One
of my favorite parts, though, is when it has them doing the mic check in Denver,
mm-hmm.
and Jack Black is singing "Fuck Her Gently" for the mic check, mm-hmm. but he's just singing about Mutombo the entire time. He's like, "What's your favorite dish? It's not my favorite, but I'll do it for Mutombo." And then he just says it again. He's like, "What's your favorite dish? I'm not gonna cook it, but Mutombo is a master chef."
Mutombo has like 40 names.
It's
like Dikembe Jean-Luc, Wu Mutombo, Mutombo Mutombo, Dikembe Mutombo, Mutombo Mutombo, and that's
I
want to
see a college sophomore dunk off Mutombo now.
At my best friend's house at school, they had it was like a fathead-esque, but it was like a full-size Dikembe Mutombo poster. It was a full-size Dikembe Mutombo poster, but it started a foot off the ground. So you could like measure yourself against Dikembe Mutombo while you were taking a piss.
I come up to his car.
You're looking up, and he's like 7-whatever, and you're like staring up at Dikembe Mutombo.
7'3", I believe.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Something like that.
It was the best bathroom poster I've ever seen.
Not seeing a lot of fathead commercials since the economic downturn, I gotta say.
Fathead!
When things started to get dire, people cut their fathead budget pretty short.
Mutual friend of the
show. Shit just got real.
Exactly, Christian.
Friend of the show, Jeff, who has a terminal illness.
All these podcasts are trying to raise money to treat Jeff.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, Jeff is dying.
We need to get a PayPal account so people can donate
money
to Jeff.
Jeff, if you're listening to this, as I know
Dead
you
Jeff
usually
at
do.
PayPal.com.
Your brother, actually, your younger brother, Bradley, actually took the time. He had a Manny Ramirez fathead in his room, and he bothered to cover up his bat, his face, and Manny Ramirez's legs with post-it notes, like little, like 1-by-1-inch post-it notes of varying colors.
Well, you see, once the organization traded him away, that was a sign that
he's
Manny
a Red Sox fan.
Him.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
All right.
He's not a Dodgers fan.
Hey, as soon as Nomar left, the fucking
which in my opinion would be Red much.
They didn't leave. They were shipped out in trades. They were forcibly removed. Know. It's like saying someone, the host of a party, like, kicks a person out of the party. It's like, I can't believe that dick left the party early.
The Red Sox really got nothing for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, it's not like I threw away my Nomar 6 foot tall cutout just because he got traded.
You have a Nomar 6 foot cutout?
Yeah, not anymore, but I did.
I can't decide.
Because he got rid of it when he got traded.
No.
I can't decide who what I hate
because,
more.
Because the fucking 2005 season, whatever, 2004, when our senior year of high school, when they won the fucking World Series. 04. I had a fucking Nomar Garcia Parra.
Fuckins, for those Nomar of you who
Garcia,
score at home.
Yeah, no, fucking shit. I had a Nomar Garcia Parra cutout in the front seat of Dennis Campbell's car. And then we had, who's the quarterback for the Patriots?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, he was in the back. And then I sat in the fucking left seat, and we made his sister sit in the trunk. so all of our cutouts.
Well, how many touchdown passes has she thrown? How many?
I don't know exactly. Doubles, so we drove to school every morning. I live right next to the high school, so he used to make him pick me up.
You're like drive over to his house
before every World Series game. He would pick me up, and we would drive to school with all those cutouts on the car.
Oh yeah, because you were real worried about the National League there.
Hey,
but
hey. Well, the ALCSs are real.
I don't know.
That's the real World Series.
I don't know what I hate more. Which is worse, Jason Bay's defense or offense? I'll tell you this much. They're both worse than Manny Ramirez and much more expensive. Hold on. I'm a little confused here.
I love Jason Bay.
It's a genius.
Can I go on my fucking All-Star break rant yet?
Yes, please.
I hate this bullshit.
I agree.
I was like, I was sitting around the other day.
Concurring.
And I'm like, I wanted to watch TV, and I'm like, what's
Tim
on?
Curry, what? Tim Curry.
I'm like, there's usually something. There's usually something. Eddie Curry? There's usually something on right now that I can watch. And it's like, oh, wait, it's baseball, and it's not on right now. Why? Because the fucking home run derby or whatever it is. The All-Star break is fucking awful. All right, there's no other sports going on at this time period now. Because, like, NHL season's over, NBA season's over, NFL's over.
Well, that side of your argument, let me just get out of the way, is not that compelling to me. But move
summer
on.
Basketball.
We have this and, like, WNBA, and that's about it.
And the summer basketball
league. All right, in Vegas. Yeah, no, I got you. I'm going to see Anthony Randolph dropping 40 points on some D-League scrubs. Okay, that's thrilling.
Nick getting angry here.
Not a big sports fan except for baseball.
It's presented on, if you try to watch ESPN now, and they're, like, analyzing Tiger Woods' like, pants that he's wearing or whatever it is.
Oh, my God. It's just like, yes, he's very good at golf.
You guys don't like Tiger Woods?
It's not really.
I like Tiger Woods fine. I'm just saying, like, ESPN is even more unwatchable.
You're not a fan of him because he's multi-ethnic?
I thought he was 100% black and nothing else.
It's because you're a racist.
All right, I thought he was white.
All-Star game. The All-Star game is fucking. It's presented by Fox. And it doesn't.
That's three fuckings for you keeping score.
It doesn't come on. It doesn't. It takes 40 minutes of introductory
ceremony.
How many
fuckings do I have, Pete?
They had Sheryl Crow sing the national anthem. She was out of key, and she mixed up the lyrics. She said, what was it? She said, broad stars, and she said,
really?
Broad stars,
yeah,
and bright stripes?
You could see her getting confused as she was singing, like slowing down and going out of key. She fucked that up. The home run derby is completely pointless. There's no, the interleague appeal of National League playing American League has been boring for 10 years.
Well,
now.
At least the home run derby is just like dudes whacking dingers. Like, it's kind of interesting.
No, dingers.
At least, but I don't
the like, best home run hitters are probably guys like Brad Eldred who can't make it to the majors because they strike out every other at bat, but they hit 50 dingers in AAA. Mm-hmm. But of course, they're not in it because
we
want to
see. Still, I mean, whatever. It's like wacky. At least the thing is, yeah. At least it's not like a fucking game with all the all stars. Just like a bunch of dudes whacking balls
okay.
as hard as they can. I get that part of it.
I guess maybe it's because I've seen a bunch of them. I'm just bored with it.
Well, yeah, I really don't pay attention to it anymore. The only year I really paid attention was the Ken Griffey Jr., Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa year. That was like an indicator. Do you remember that?
I remember Frank Thomas won in 94.
Yeah, Sosa won
that
big year, though.
No.
Can I jump in for a second?
Ryan loves a home run derby.
Ryan on sports.
I caught a bit of it.
I have to hear this.
I caught a bit of it. Why do they now like have little computer displays? Like, oh, right after it's hit, you know whether or not it's going to go out of the park.
Oh, well,
as a home
most
run.
People who watch baseball know
say?
Off the bat
oh, yeah,
whether it's going out.
You can tell the 45-degree trajectory, the sound of the bat.
But the thing is, and then you've got Chris Berman announcing it, who just it's 3 hours of him going back, 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 gone. And then going back, 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 and it's like at second base or something.
And there's like some little kid fielding it, you know?
That's fucking horrid. All right, the American League wins every year. That's fucking boring.
Well, they're a better league.
No, that's fine with me.
If you say you need the All-Star break because the players need to rest, then why is a quarter of the pitching staff composed of pitchers who pitched 2 days ago? Burley, Beckett, and Verlander all pitch Sunday, and then they're being hauled out for the All-Star game on Tuesday.
Yeah, they only have to pitch.
I feel like almost. I rarely watch the game. The voting itself is more what I pay attention to and just get angry about.
Oh, that shit's offensive. I wasn't even going to touch that because that's a whole other rant. Yeah. And last, I don't understand. If you say, well, baseball's trying to make money, I don't see how one nationally broadcast game in one park can. All right, let's say you give a lot of guys an off night and you only broadcast 8 games, say. We'll have 16 teams play, half the league play.
Mm-hmm.
That's 8 games. There's no way the All-Star game pulls in more money than that, than like a given TV broadcast. They have 2 national broadcasts a week.
Yeah, but, it's the one game being broadcast everywhere.
So instead of having, like...
Ryan Howard deserved to be there.
Instead of having 100,000 people watching 8 different games, you got 800,000 people watching 1 game. It's the same pot of people being pushed into one pool.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's like people who aren't like hardcore baseball fans are like, oh, I feel like it's honestly for the people who aren't real fans of baseball.
It might be.
You know, to be like, oh, it's All-Star game.
It's true. No,
that might be true.
Because to real baseball fans, it's like, yeah, I don't give 2 shits.
I actually.
Like,
actually,
I
had the All-Star game, I texted a couple ladies.
It's like the Space Jam of baseball.
Just casual people I kind of know, and they were like, not much, watching the All-Star game. And I was like, yeah. Oh, no, you know nothing about
exactly.
Baseball.
It's, I guess it's like the video game equivalent game. You
I
know
guess
what
maybe
I mean?
That's why the voting's okay, because the people who are watching it don't know anything about it, so they might actually think Michael Young is a good third baseman.
No, it's more of an event, like the Super Bowl. Like, people just feel compelled to watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's an I just don't see... I don't see why it needs to happen.
Well, I definitely feel.
Right,
I feel like
Nick,
there should.
I have to get this out of the way. Who should have been third base, though? Who, in your opinion?
Well, Longoria. Well, A-Rod wasn't even on the team,
which is because he's not clutch, Rod.
No, it was because he wasn't.
Scott
qualified.
Rowland
didn't qualify.
I would take Scott Rowland
because he's not clutch. That's why he didn't qualify.
I'd take Scott Rowland ahead of
Rowland,
Michael Young any day.
He deserves it too. He's been around for a while.
Scott Rowland has been around forever.
For the first like 8 years of his career, he was one of the best third basemen ever.
He's fantastic.
Was he on the Phillies for a while?
He was on the Phillies and the Cardinals.
I've always said
Cardinals
this about Scott.
I
have always said this about Scott Rowland. If I wasn't a Yankees fan, I would die for him to be my third baseman.
Mm. Yep.
Any other team in
that would be great. Would be absolutely great.
Everybody wonders why every single Toronto
Unless
pitcher is awesome.
Unless my Red Sox got fucking Teixeira, we can move Euclid to third.
Wasn't gonna happen.
I know. It saddens me. And now you guys have him for near a decade. And
look out, guys.
Myself.
The White Sox just traded for Tony Pena.
And Yankees
fan down the hatches.
And Yankees fans hate Teixeira right now.
Do they?
Why?
Oh my God! I hear so many complaints. It's a great job, Teixeira. I mean, I get my agreed question. I get most of my generic Yankees opinions from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he's.
Well, he's a good litmus test for generic Yankee fan-ery.
He's probably
he doesn't like A-Rod, right?
Well, he doesn't like A-Rod. Yeah,
my mom's the same way.
Well, it's weird because the rest, basically, a Yankees fan looks at it like, well, not a Yankees fan. You're generic, kind of like boneheaded, mm-hmm. just follower of the team who doesn't really observe other teams. It's just like 3-4 Mark Teixeira, Alex Rodriguez, not clutch, like all around, just bullshit. You know, it's like they strike out a lot, like they grind out a lot, which they have. They're kind of struggling this year for their careers, which is absurd to say.
Yeah, it's.
But the thing is, though, every other team probably looks. It's like, why are the Yankees that good? It's like, oh wait, 3 and 4 in your batting order are Teixeira Rodriguez. It's like, holy shit.
You know what I noticed though? I think I may have figured out the New York media problem or whatever it is, which is that the only thing that matters is what happens in your first, like, 10 games with the mm-hmm. team. Then they'll label you, and that's what you are, and that's it.
For the rest of the season. Yeah.
For the rest of your fucking career, and that's
it. I guess,
It's like Aaron Small came in. It's like, why can't we? And you'll have people calling in now. Like,
I mean,
why can't we bring back
Aaron Small?
As a
Yankees fan, this really bothers me.
But it doesn't bother me
enough, though, to, like, change my team just because that it's quintessentially New York. Which is kind of a nice, charming aspect of it.
Oh, it's funny, because if they didn't do that, they would win every single year.
But if there's a playoff game where fucking A-Rod hits like a 3-run homer, I feel like they would forget about it.
Look at Derek Jeter's playoff numbers for the last, like, 6 years. They blow
They blow dongs.
But he's super clutch.
Most people's playoff numbers blow dongs.
I would know...
It actually, to defend that argument, I think most Yankees fans have accepted he's not clutch at all.
Oh, yeah,
I think
no.
everyone's caught on to that.
Well, it took
a great career batter.
Amazing. Yeah. No, honestly, as
he's
a
awesome.
Red Sox fan, stuff. Amazing career batter, but the last two seasons, the amount of like double plays he's hit into,
it's been bad.
He's hitting great this year, though.
He's doing all
and
right
it
this
sucks.
Year.
I hate to admit that. He's the best. Like,
his fielding
he's like, honestly,
is good this
I would
year.
Not,
it's never been good
well,
before.
I've noticed
I would not want another shortstop.
Yeah, his fielding is better.
In the American League. Like, I can't think of anyone else.
Bartlett is going crazy this year. But
yeah,
other
this
than
year,
that,
like,
it's 1 year. Yeah, no,
exactly.
It's not
like, just
yeah.
career-wise, he is...
Absolutely.
It's
he's
like a fucking decade now of him just like fucking...
13 years.
Blowing the shit out of...
Yeah.
Well, for all you non-baseball fans out there, I think
we'll move on a little bit. Yeah, sorry.
Go Yankees!
You know what else was grinding?
Go Red Sox.
What else was grinding my gear? I'd say go White Sox, but they don't listen, so... Kenny Williams not listening to the show.
Dustin Pedroia, big fan.
That was Kenny Williams by himself applauding. That's how big his hands are.
You're such a racist.
Black?
Do you guys have any thoughts on
Asian?
Kids in commercials?
What?
Kids.
Too happy.
It's fucked up, man.
What are they? Have they ever been anything other than emotionally manipulative, annoying, or lame?
Or so quote unquote cute that like it's designed to sell whatever product?
All right. Well, the thing is, I'm trying to pursue a career in acting, and from the mild exposure I've had, just like in like going out for random things, it breaks your soul. And you have to be a matured adult and kind of know what you're doing. Otherwise, it's just very overwhelming and stuff, unless you get really lucky and make it big immediately, and then everything's kind of thrown at you.
Kind of like Orlando Bloom getting it right out of acting school.
I had to go fucking out for commercials when I was a kid.
Not even, because he got lucky, but he already knew what he was doing.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about, like, younger. When you're that little.
I was that little going out for fucking commercials.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh,
wait,
yeah.
Your parents put you up to that?
Yeah. Yeah.
What the hell?
Brett got in a Pampers commercial. He was the baby for a Pampers commercial.
No way.
And then they're like, what's with his cold? And my mom should have been like, I don't know, he just has a cold. But instead, he had like crippling sinus infections through his entire childhood. And my mom can't lie for some reason with shit like that. So they decided to use another baby. And that would have been like fucking sweet money. But then I started having to do it.
Well, that's a very Italian thing. You immediately tell the truth, but then you'll defend it in a very rational way.
And then you tell
way.
More information than they want.
Which is terrible.
As opposed to, and I don't want to sound like edgy or too racist or anything, but a thing of the hallmark of the Jewish people is like they will like kind of lie or skew the truth about the point that they want. And then when that gets accosted, they'll argue it in the most logical ways that will just bend your mind.
It depends on the situation, but
My mom could not lie about it.
I think that's part of it. It's just like a survival mechanism. It's like they've been...
No, I know, but
like
it's
everywhere
just,
they go, people are trying to fucking murder them. So you've got to
so
learn
that,
how to
like
take
mom,
care of your
my
shit.
My mom knows.
See,
that
I don't get
like,
down with that though, because they have not always been trying to be murdered.
Yeah,
they emphasize it more than I...
They were expelled from Ireland. They were expelled from England.
They were expelled a lot of places, but in their own communities, it's not like they were oppressed.
No.
Yeah, even when they were allowed, they were most accepted by Muslims until the modern era.
And
that's
even,
true.
And
if they had never left fucking like North Africa, the Middle East, or anywhere in Eastern Europe, they would have been fine.
Well,
the thing is, though, I think they're just intelligent people, period.
Well, like, on fucking average, Ashkenazi Jews and like Sephardic Jews, they test 10 to 15 IQ points higher than we do. And so the Japanese are the same way.
Are you suggesting that cultural values impact what results?
Yes, if you put like emphasis on education
and
family.
Everyone's the same.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, no, you're right.
Everyone's
people
is
in
exactly
Africa,
the same.
We're on this together.
People in Africa, they're just as smart, but they just get AIDS from happenstance.
But speaking of child actors, let me give a shout out to a fan, one of our biggest fans, Eric LaMonica. He auditioned to be Beaver in the most recent...
Oh, the remake of...
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Leave It to Beaver. Yes. He auditioned to be Beaver in...
Well, he didn't get it, so stop listening to this show. We don't like losers.
Oh, shit. Yeah, this isn't a loser cast, LaMonica.
Okay.
Fuck you!
All right, LaMonica, if you're listening to this, and everyone else...
Which you are.
Eric is a great guy. He's a really cool guy, friend of ours. Total non sequitur. We're going to have a mystery guest for about four episodes.
Four or five. Total.
Who could it be?
Eric is spearheading our street team. He's made a whole bunch of brilliant images, which we love.
We'll be selling T-shirts, hopefully, which Eric will be pumping out in sweatshop fashion.
He sent me an email which said an actual photo of a gorilla benching weight. And I opened it up excited. I don't know why I expected an image of it. I thought it was going to be a photo of a
gorilla. Dude, that would have blown my... I would have been like, oh, my God! I would if my grandmother, like, may she rest in peace, was still in the way, I would have, like, given her, like, the fucking Heisman move. Well, thank you. I would have Heisman my grandmother to the ground and gone to the computer.
Yeah. What does rest in peace even mean?
I don't know.
You're dead!
I just wanted to say it because it's funny.
So are you
trying to sound like Italian?
So, the listener.
What the hell is that?
So I opened the email.
So my grandmother, she's probably getting eaten alive by maggots right now. Like, what do you want me to say?
Eaten alive?
You could have just said my grandmother. Fact about your grandmother. You have to be like, you could have just said either, like, she's dead.
It was a fucking
non sequitur.
May she rest in peace.
May she rest in peace is the worst non sequitur of all time. Because it's trying to be, like, polite, and it kind of has this weird religious connotation.
Just remind everyone that you care about them. Also, as if they'd be lying there completely agitated and restless, but then all of a sudden somewhere you say, may she rest in peace.
Dude, I don't want to get fucking, like, a zombie fucking haunted.
The thing is, though,
me?
When you're just talking about something that happened to your grandmother, who fucking cares if she's dead? I don't care. I really don't. Like, I don't care if your grandma has died. I really do not. So I just like, may she rest in peace. It's just like, why are you saying that in front of me?
I will say,
it's like, think it to yourself, bitch. Like, I don't care.
I will say, it's just like, I'm a good person. But I will say, all right, do you understand people who are like, 40 getting all broke up about their grandparents dying?
No.
It's like, at that stage of life, You expect to still have two generations ahead of you?
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute.
This is your fucking wake-up call, man.
Exactly.
Oh, wait. Are you saying when they actually die, or is this like post?
You're age 40. Your grandmother dies.
Just
you
now?
Take like a day off of work. You fucking like get all broke up about it.
Oh, hell no.
It's, maybe if it's your
you
parents.
Had 40, you had 40 years of a fucking grandparent.
If it's your parents, maybe. But
I haven't had a grand. When I was 19, all my grandparents were dead.
Well, your parents are rather old.
That's fine.
Yeah,
but
I'm sweet.
I am so envious.
I got one left.
No, I'm dead serious. Every kid I know who has older parents, just like their parents hooked them up, they're very understanding because they've lived longer. Like, they just know what's going on.
More perspective.
That's why I'm not having kids till I'm 75.
You know what I was listening to the other day?
It's going
to
happen. Ladies, if you're listening,
wait.
Put me
years.
In the bank for 50 years.
I was listening to the Adam Carolla show the other day, and I actually looked up the fucking studies they figured out about this. If you're 80 years old and you live to 85, you're more likely to live to 95. Like, there's this really weird thing where at, like, 75, you're, like, due to die, basically, before you're 80. But if you live past that, you're in, like, another bracket. But if you, it's like Andy Rooney.
Because either you're limping across the finish line,
yeah,
or you're still just, like, going
strong. If you
strong.
Live past 85, your life expectancy actually, like, peaks up. There's, like, weird...
There's
weird, like, decades where you, like, should die. But if you live past it, you're in, like, a different bracket where you're probably not going to die.
Do you want
a while.
I'd rather just die.
No, I know, isn't that cool, though? If you live past 85, you're probably not going to die until you're, like, 95.
Would you like
that
to know
sucks.
More?
Because I feel like you just push your survival, like,
no,
so
but it's not
more,
even that.
And
it's...
then you're, like it just kicks
no, no,
in.
But for those people, usually, it's because their quality of life has just kind of plateaued. And they're not, like, crapping themselves, really. They're basically just fumbling along, and they're doing fine. It's, like, a select amount of people who can live to that
era. Choose death.
I think once you get there, you might...
No, it's a human thing. It's a human thing, though. Like, it's like you can't drown yourself in water. Like, you just can't do it. Like,
Have you ever seen the South Park episode? All right, continue.
My grandma always used to tell me fucked up stuff of, like, things always, like, Carolla talks about this, too. Like, I have, like, conversations from when I was a little kid, and my grandma being like, things ever get too bad, like, I'm going to kill myself. And I'm like, what? And she's like, yeah. Like, if I'm, like, 75... And I'm, like, fucking, like, sitting here, like, writhing in pain and just watching TV and eating Jell-O. Like, I'm going to kill myself. But, like, when she was, like, dying...
When you're actually confronted with it, you don't...
Yeah, you can't. Because it's just, like, you're in a different state of mind. Like, when you're that lively, spunky person, that's an entirely different person when you're, like, limping along at the finish line.
There's
some other science articles that
you
were...
You say that now, but you'll be a total puss when you're, like, limping towards the finish line.
I better not make it there. I'd rather get hit by a car. That's what I'm aiming for. I'm angling for car hit. I'm angling hard.
That means your brother's going
to
die in a car accident. Christian, you sadistic bastard.
But
I want to live to like age 60 and die quickly and painlessly.
Yeah, but the problem is now, like, we don't know what our life expectancy is going to be. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know what it could be 60 when I get hit by a car.
Well, I know
what you're saying.
I'm just saying for our generation, we're
get something to say.
Oh no, it's,
people living into the upper hundreds, like 110, is going to be
a doctor interrupter.
But I think people also live in a very consume and less active sort of.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might think that might counterbalance the technology.
The advent of the internet.
Speaking of
TVR
of studies and stuff like this, this is sent to us from a listener, Alyssa, which is she's our research.
Who?
She's our research assistant at this point. So, and this article actually says swearing can help make your pain go away.
Fucking shit, right?
So apparently, this is by a UK science journal.
My pain is this podcast, so I just disprove that.
I like that this specifies that the most popular swear words were two well-known ones, beginning with F and S, whatever those may be. But apparently, when you're being hurt, there's a physiological adrenaline response when you're swearing, which actually tangibly reduces the pain you're experiencing.
How? Has swearing been around since dawn of
absolutely.
Humanity?
Think about porn on the internet. Apply that to swears. Like, if you can think about
good point. Good point. Yeah. Those chicks do say fuck a lot.
No, what I'm saying is, though, like, porn on the internet, if you can think of a porn, you can find it. Like, think of, like, back in the day, if the English language, if whatever language was there, there were swears for it. Like, immediately. You know?
Were they always taboo, though?
Yes. Always. There's always foul things to say in whatever language
That's what's interesting, too, is you have look at the graffiti that they find in Pompeii.
Mm-hmm. I've been to Pompeii. There's a fucking dick in the middle of the road that points to the brothel.
It's a phallus, and they also have... phalluses are huge in archaeology, but...
That's not the time for dick measuring.
God, he's so quick. The other thing is, all the graffiti is exactly what you see in like men's bathrooms now. It's like so and so takes it in the ass, so and so sucks cock, mm-hmm. I fucked so and so. That's what it all is.
For a good time, call like 998.
Yeah,
whatever.
For a good time, wander down this street with your sandals or whatever it may have been. And the other thing is, I knew a friend of mine had a book which was collections of poems, which were all just like vulgar poems from 16th, 17th, 18th century that were about like butt sex and like bestiality and whatever it is. There were dirty limericks like 500 fucking years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the human brain has changed all that much.
Not really, especially for dirty shit. I bet they were better at it then.
And like in 300
when
years.
When people actually fucked like cattle.
Do you think anything were really that biologically different from Shakespeare's time?
I do, because especially in the last 50 years, especially, but even in the last 100 years.
Because of nutrition
years, not even nutrition. It's just think of like all the people, and this is what I do basically when I walk around. It's like I see some dude who's like totally blind, you know, but like has glasses and is like really sickly, and you hear about like all his childhood sicknesses, and it's like, oh, you wouldn't even have been alive like 40 years
That's
ago.
That's true. Darwinism, I wonder if Darwinism still applies to our society where there are all these people.
Absolutely not. There are people with Down syndrome that exist.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no.
All right, well...
But you know what I mean, though, basically? Like, people just would not...
Right, hold on. Engineer Ryan has something to say.
I will say there... You know those...
Now, Ryan has his own personal reasons for defending natural selection.
Okay, well, here's the thing. You know those, like, those stories from the Greek times of, like,
yes.
Seas of red?
You're all like Icarus. Should be a drive.
The theory goes that the reason... It's not that they, like... Seas of blood. It's that many people back then were colorblind. Like a significant portion of the population was colorblind.
Really?
Wow. Back in the day.
Was there an explanation for that?
It's only been very recently we've been evolved to see like the entire color spectrum.
So our eyes are getting better?
Yes. Well, actually,
would
yeah, like because it's only been very recently that several, like, for example, Western Europeans are able to digest milk from cows. Other stuff like that.
Well, it makes sense if, like, imagine, all right, your vision spectrum can only see a few colors, but you have, like, decent vision. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just imagine all the people who were born with just, like, god-awful vision, who would just have died immediately. It's like, I can't see fucking anything.
That's my thing, though.
That's why Benjamin Franklin invented the bifocals. We're alive because
like,
of
my
him.
Roommate Sam at school has paroxysmal kinesogenic dyskinetic, something
bullshit.
Something chorioathetosis. One in every 100 million, I mean, people have this movement disorder, and he's fucking fine. But he's fine, and he has like he's like legally blind.
But why would we be? Why would our vision be improving if the need for good eyesight is becoming rapidly?
I don't think our vision's improving at all.
Survival dependent.
I just feel like the whole.
I think that will happen eventually. It's just right now cars were invented not that long ago, so I guess our eyesight needs.
I just
be
think
better.
It's the whole like, color scheme because my uncle's colorblind. And usually doesn't onset until like kind of later.
Glenn's uncle.
Holy shit. But like, I feel like color is like, it's like a new fucking adaption mechanism that we actually need. So colorblind, like, would actually might be like a detraction for a chick trying to bang a dude. You know what I mean?
Because he wouldn't have as good of a wardrobe?
Wait, why is that a detraction?
No, I'm just saying, like, think about it. It's like, you want to see the entire fucking color spectrum.
I know
right?
We try to wrap up around 30 minutes, but we don't have, like, a TV sponsor cutting us off.
It's not like there's a guillotine that comes down at 30 minutes. Just think about a woman thinking about her kids.
Oh, yeah.
And would she want her kids to be colorblind? Absolutely not.
So you think that's, like, a subconscious?
I would.
Absolutely, I know you would. You're a dude, but think of it a chick's perspective. It's like, well, my kid is gonna be colorblind. Fuck that! Like, that's not happening.
No, that's sweet though, because then she could like pick out outfits and they'd be sweet to her. But like, even if the other chicks don't care, she'd be like a trendsetter, and then she becomes Amy Winehouse, and that would be like really cool to me as a father.
And we're all becoming Amy Winehouse here on Click It or Ticket.
It's true.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
This is the Winehouse of podcasts.
Yeah, well, Christian is bringing the hammerhead of the guillotine.
Yeah, sorry
down.
Guys, we want to keep talking to you, but Christian doesn't want us
to. At 32 minutes, he unplugs all the equipment. So. Yeah,
and then starts throwing feces at us.
Well, he does that anyway. But
yeah, it's a monkey. Ain't that the truth?
Okay. Well,
yeah, it's a madhouse.
This podcast has been nothing but the truth. Thank you all very much.
Mumbo number 5.